We want to take a few moments this evening to look at a couple of things as it relates to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll begin with reading a couple of texts, one from Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, beginning at 18, and then a few verses from Galatians chapter 4. I remind you again that this is God's Word, so listen well. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And then from Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this timely and helpful reminder that we are co-heirs with Christ because of Christ, that you have sent your Son into this world to save sinners such as us. We marvel at that. And we come tonight asking, as we contemplate this great thing, that you might press these truths deeper into our hearts, lift our minds and hearts up with joy because of these things, give us comfort from knowing Christ has come to save and deliver us. This we pray in the good name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a meditation which we're involved in tonight, which means not a sermon, which means it's just shorter. As we think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to be sure our minds are set in the right direction, that we are not distracted by the things of the world. There are many things that go on around Christmas time which are not in and of themselves sinful or wrong, but many things can become distracting. And so we gather here on Christmas Eve so that we might remind ourselves that reason for which Christ come, and that we might rejoice in that all the more throughout the rest of the holiday season. The sermon title, or the meditation title, is He Came to Deliver. What does that mean? What did He deliver us from? First of all, he came to deliver us from sin. He will save his people, was the announcement of the prophet. He will provide that which man could not provide himself. He will answer that which man could not answer. Man was required and is required by God to be a law keeper. God gave the law, man was to obey, and we did not. We are condemned because of our disobedience. We are condemned because of the inheritance which we received from Adam. But God, in his great mercy, has brought Christ into this earth that we might be justified. And that's a term we use quite often here. You're quite familiar with it. But it is always good to remind ourselves that this justification means that what God has done in this free grace work of his is that he has satisfied all that God required of us. And so the sins that I have committed, he died for. He took the punishment which I was deserving, and the obedience which I did not do, the good works that I did not accomplish, that which God requires of all of humanity, God did indeed get satisfied through the work of Christ Jesus. Christ came to satisfy divine justice. Paul writes in Romans 8:34, who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed is interceding for us. Who is it that can condemn? Well, there are many that do, the devil being chief amongst those who would be a condemner of our souls and spirits, who would always bring evil words against us. But there are other folks as well. There are men and women who would look at us and would think that we are quite presumptive to think that God favors us, that God loves us. But the testimony of that is found in Christ Jesus. And everything that God required of us was satisfied in Christ Jesus. He answered death and the power of death. Hebrews chapter 2. Since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same thing, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Now we still die, you know that. You have watched relatives drop off the edge of the earth, and you know that at some time you will as well. But the horrid thing about death is standing before a holy, just, righteous God and having no answer for him, having no way to appease him, having no way to quieten his wrath. But for us, that is not the case. The power of death is sin, and Christ has answered our problem with sin. He brings us comfort. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. As we worship the Lord Jesus Christ every weekend, every Lord's Day, as we, around the cycle of the year, come once again to the celebration of Christ's birth, we remind ourselves that we have peace with God. Peace is talked about a lot. It's on all those cards people send you. But we have real peace with God. We have a God who is satisfied with us. You look into your own soul from time to time. I know you do. I certainly do. And you find things there that are quite unpleasant. You find yourself struggling with sin day in and day out. But we are comforted that even though we are sinners, God the Father is totally, completely, absolutely satisfied with us because Christ has stood in our place. He has come to deliver us by our justification. He is also providing adoption. He came to make us his. We belong to him. We're different than those who are outside of Christ. The Catechism talks about adoption and speaks of it as that act of God's free grace whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the Son of God. So in justification, we understand that the judge has declared us right and just and good and holy. In spite of all that we have done, God says you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Joey Piper likes to talk about moving from the courtroom to the living room in this transition between justification and adoption. That we are declared right, but we are also received into the family of God. It's not just a legal transaction that is sort of absent of all emotion and passion, but rather it is the acceptance that we have by the Father that he has made us his own children. In 1 John 3, what kind of love the Father has given for us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is it did not know him. That we are called the children. 8:17 of Romans. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. In both of those texts, we are reminded that he has made us his children and that we are heirs of that kingdom. We inherit, and that inheritance is not simply getting to heaven, which is a glorious thing for which we wait and look and anticipate, but it is that which begins with life with Christ on this earth, but leads us to that place where we shall rejoice that we have now entered into the place where he has prepared for us. John's Gospel, chapter 14, familiar passage. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. That's what it means to be a child of God. To have a dwelling with God in this life and a promise of that dwelling to continue for all eternity. We have Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, now, and we have him forever. But that's not the only deliverance that we are given. Not only are we told that we are justified, set free of the burden and penalty of sin, adopted, made to be His child, and cared for and loved and cherished, but also He came to make us holy. Now, we know when we get to heaven, the battles will be over in that regard. We will be made holy. Our struggle with sin will be gone. But we're not there yet. But sanctification is that work wherein God has continued to work in us after our faith in Christ. He has, as the Catechism says, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Reminding us that the coming of Christ not only secured a home in heaven for us, not only brought us to walk with Him in this earth, but before we get to heaven, between now and then, He has provided us great help and assistance in this work which we call sanctification, this work of grace. Ezekiel speaks of it in 36:27. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. It is a work of grace. It is a wondrous work wherein God intervenes, awakens. People ask Christians from time to time, I've been asked, perhaps you have been asked similarly, well, how can you live that way? Now, to be fair, we don't really. We struggle with sin day in and day out. But there is a difference between those who know Christ and those who don't. And that difference is born of a work of God's grace in the life and heart of that individual, wherein they now are able to obey God. From Paul's letter to the Philippians, he makes us willing and able to do God's good pleasure, that we can follow Him, we can be obedient. It is a transformation that is brought about by an ongoing work of God. Romans chapter 6, we were buried with Him in baptism and death, in order that just as Christ raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. We know that the old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we are no longer enslaved by sin. That is also the good news of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that your struggle with sin is not something which God has pushed you into the corner and said, now, you stay there until you can do better. It is not something that He leaves us alone to accomplish. But rather it is a work wherein God changes our heart and our desires, and He enables us to be strong in the doing of those things which He has called us to do. His Spirit takes the Word of God and awakens our mind and heart in such a way as that we have an understanding that we once did not understand. And we have a desire which we cannot answer as to its source from anything that was within us, because we know what's there. But rather it is that we are in Christ Jesus. And that being in Christ and His sanctifying work gives us great relief. It reminds us that we are not left to wallow in sin. And you may have a besetting sin, a sin that you continue to fall back into and struggle with week or monthly or yearly or whatever. That's the case for most of us at some point in our life, likely for all of us, but don't know that for sure. There may be those who just keep changing their sins of preference in such a routine way that they don't have a particular sin that plagues them. But I am assured that all of you are plagued by sin. And those of you that love the Lord Jesus Christ know what a heartache it is. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ not only set us right with God as far as a legal standing, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ not only made us to be part of His family, wherein we are reminded day in and day out of the love of God that He has for us. But He has given us hope in this walk in this life by speaking to us from His Word concerning the nature of our sanctification, that we, by this work of God, are able to live godly and holy lives to His pleasure and to His delight. This is what Christ came and his coming to deliver us. There's much more. As you know, the Bible is full of things that are tied into the advent of Christ. But for our meditation tonight, this is sufficient. We are justified, sin forgiven. We're adopted now in his family. We are sanctified, growing in a love for God and for holiness. May your celebration of Christmas be full of the work of Christ, and may that comfort you and give you peace. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your kind mercies. We thank you, Father, that you have been merciful to us once again, allowing us to live to the end of another year. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless and that you would keep us, and that you would continue to enlarge our love for you and our understanding of your word. We pray this thing in Christ.